Good evening, good evening. It's time to begin our services tonight. We're going to begin with some singing. 564 in your hymn book, 564. Let's stand together as we sing, In the Sweet By and By, Speaking of Heaven. Thinking of Heaven tonight, 564. There's a land that is
invite you to remain standing as we begin our service in prayer. Great song. Many of us know that from many years ago in the Sweet By and By. I was singing that chorus there, though, and a quick thought flashed in my mind. It says, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And maybe that's an encouragement to you, thinking of maybe a family member, a child, a parent, a good friend who went home with the Lord. But then, boy, a thought just dashed me there. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. But that's not everybody. There may be many of our friends and family that we won't meet face to face because they don't know Christ. Our prayer is that we would meet them and see them again. And you've heard the saying, the gospel's only good news if it gets there in time. So if God's pricked your heart about a family member, a friend, a loved one, you say, I don't know if I'd see them face to face. I wouldn't be able to see them in the Sweet By and By. I want to. And may you and I do all that we can if the Lord allows us to reach them with the gospel. Let's have a word of prayer. Perhaps right now while I pray, maybe the Lord's brought someone to your mind and heart, why don't you lift them up in prayer to the Lord? And say, Lord, give me an opportunity to see them, to greet them, to talk with them, if I have the opportunity this week to share Christ. Father, we come to you now. Lord, it is a blessing that as believers, we have the hope of heaven. Lord, those that are saved, there should be no fear, Lord, really, of death. We know that heaven is but like a graduation, Lord. Leaving behind this old world and all the sin and our own flesh, Lord, for most of us would be glorious. No more sin, no more temptation, no more sorrow. And Lord, to see loved ones, family members, those who maybe introduce us to Christ is going to be a wonderful time. I'm seeing face-to-face Bible characters that we've only read about, hearers of the faith, seeing you, Lord, face-to-face. But Lord, there's going to be many that we know, loved ones, workers that we'll be working with tomorrow, neighbors, relatives, aunts, uncles, Lord, that if they don't receive Jesus Christ, we'll not see them again in the Sweet By and By. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would do everything we can while we have breath, Lord, be a bearer of the gospel, whether it be by letter, a phone call, an email, a personal visit, whatever it may be, Lord, may we share the good news with those who do not know, so that, Lord, one day we can be with them one day in the Sweet By and By. Lord, we want to continue to lift up the Harris family, Lord, grieving over the homegoing of Levi, his wife, his children, Sam, Callan, Mark, Karen, family members, Lord. Still, I'm sure, a lot of raw emotions there, Lord, and tough days ahead. Encourage them in the Lord, and may we be a blessing and encouragement as we part of that church family there with Sam and Callan. Pray for Mike, family members there, the kids, the grandkids, siblings, Lord, and the loss of Mike's father, and Lord, his mother, and Lord, arrangements and decisions that have to be made. Give wisdom, give direction there, Lord, I pray, in the days ahead. Lord, we ask your blessing on this service tonight as we've come together one more time today, Lord, to gather together to worship you, to glorify you, and to sing praises to your name, to hear the preaching of the word of God. Lord, may you be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat there for the second song.
And that would be hymn number 582, Banner of the Cross. 582. There's a banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. As an ensign fair, we lift it up today for the ransom won we bring. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown him king, toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross. On the last stanza, when the glory dawn is drawing very near, it is hastening day by day. Then before our King, the foe shall disappear. Ladies, it's just like his great love. Wonderful. We're going to take our songbooks once more. As soon as I find where we are. Yep, 560 this time, 560. Just over in the glory land. Let's go ahead and stand together as we sing this time. 560. Speaking of heaven once again. 560. I have a home prepared where the saints of mine dust over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, dust over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join in the angels. Dust over in the glory land, just over in the glory land. instruments will be dismissed. With the Lord large throng, I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Let Hosanna be Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land. Mighty hosts thou stand, just over in the glory land. Thank you. You may be seated. Just before the message tonight, I believe we have special music.
No mistakes, he knoweth the end. Okay. All right. Well, we're done with the book of Jude, so I hope you're not turning there. All right. We're not there anymore. Now, it may seem like a long time, but the pastor's fellowship on Monday, we were eating at the buffet, and the one pastor I was sitting with said, I can't remember what book it was. It was either one of the Timothys or Thessalonians. And he said, it took me 4 years to get through that. All right. And I said, I feel a lot better now. All right. Now, you say, hey, but those have a lot more chapters. All right. You're right. You're right. They do. But still, it can take a lengthy time, depending on how detailed you want to get, how the Lord leads. I trust the help. The study of Jude was a help and a blessing. If not, it was for me. And I'm sure I can do better on going through it again if I were to do it sometime in the future. Well, we're at a little bit of an in-between time here coming up on Easter. So I'm going to take this Sunday night and next Sunday night and just do sort of a two-part series on proclaiming and presenting the gospel, dealing a little bit with soul winning and evangelism. We're getting ready to start passing out John and Romans here in Duryea. Our goal is till all have heard in Duryea. We understand, if you've ever knocked on doors, a lot of people don't answer. You understand, if you've ever knocked on doors, they're just not home. All right, a lot of times you knock on doors, doesn't matter if you go back, you just may never catch them. And so we understand, leaving a John and Romans, leaving a track, a little visitor's thing, a door hanger, hey, IBC was here, we understand all that. How many people we actually get to talk to face-to-face? I don't know, all right? But we're going to do our part in obeying the Lord's commands and doing everything we can do to reach the little community right here where this church is at, all right? And so that could be, again, we understand Saturdays, sometimes that's the only day where dad's off. Mom, maybe, and that's a family day. We understand that. And so we don't do it every Saturday. We may do them in the mornings. We may do them in the afternoons. If there's times where you say we want to do it or our family can do it, we're going to take our family out, Pastor. There's not an official time. Where's the street or where's the section we could do? That'd be great. We'll have some different times. We'll probably have through the spring and summer some evenings. We may have on occasion, a Thursday evening, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7 to 8, it's still light out. It's a great time to go out, those kind of things. We'll have different times, and we'll just see where we get. Again, the goal is not to check off a thing and say, hey, it's October and we finished. We did the whole town. That's awesome. Well, that is great. All right. But the goal is no. The goal is getting the gospel out and talking to as many people as possible. Now, we know that's not the only way to soul win. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. Door to door is just one way. All right. There are many ways. And so we want to be able to use as many ways as possible of getting the gospel out right here in Duryea as a church. But then for each of us in our own places, a lot of you live in different areas. Developments, little sections, little places, little workplaces, that's your area that you can be a gospel witness. Many of you are. Many of you are working on that, and many of you can be as you get bold in the faith. All right, so if you'll turn, let's start tonight. Let's go to Mark 16, a pretty familiar passage here. Mark 16, if you would, tonight. This is called Proclaiming and Presenting the Gospel, just a two-part here. For some, this is old news, but don't tune me out. Even if you are what would be called a veteran soul winner, again, there's a lot of different words. So if I use the word soul winning, I know for some, right, what does that mean? I never heard of that. All right, the little chorus, souls for Jesus is my battle cry. All right, souls for Jesus, soul winning, winning people to Christ, witnessing, sharing the gospel. Proclaiming the gospel, evangelism, they're all synonymous with the same thing. Being a witness, a testimony, sharing Christ, being a soul winner, they all are similar. There's different ways to do that, all right? Remember, evangelism, evangelist, the name evangelin, all right, all come from that word, the idea of good news, bearer of good news, the good message, all right? Shane, are you evangelist? All right, God called you to be an evangelist? What's your purpose of being an evangelist? Okay, same thing as basically a local church. Hey, you're going to go everywhere he goes, an evangelist, special meetings, a rally, a one-day thing, preaching, going to present the gospel. God specifically called me to that office as a bearer of the gospel, the great message. I'm going to be a good steward of that. I'm going to preach Christ, salvation of souls, but also to come alongside churches and come along and to stir them up in the faith, build them up, challenge them. Boy, come right in. Boy, Evangelist Caleb Reed, Evangelist Mike Pelletier, Evangelist Morris Gleiser, having some special services. The church needs revived. Absolutely. All right. So that idea of evangelism is just a church's means of getting the gospel out. There are many forms of that. We'll be talking about that tonight and next Sunday. Now, Mark 16:15 is where we're at. I know you know it by heart. You say, I already know it. Why do I got to turn there? All right. Well, let's turn there anyways. Mark 16:15. We'll be looking at at this type of chapter in a week or two at the resurrection, Easter Resurrection Sunday. This happens after that. And if you remember, before the cross, the message of Christ to his disciples was, go only to the lost sheep of Israel. Which sometimes shocks people and they have trouble understanding that. When he sent them out, you're only to go to the lost sheep of Israel. All right? And you're like, wow, I thought the gospel, all right? And then after the cross, after the price was paid, after it was finished in the resurrection, you see different here. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And before the cross, it was called the gospel of the kingdom. Repent and believe ye the gospel. Christ went everywhere preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But now it's go proclaim the gospel and preach the gospel. What we would call the gospel of grace, the gospel of the cross of Calvary to every creature we've been looking at in adult Sunday school class. The Apostle Paul. The apostle we might call to the Gentiles as, well, I was just reading something about that even after Sunday school. I was reading this afternoon in a little book, and I just had never pictured this, that when Peter was there preaching to Cornelius in Acts 10 and all of his household, which was probably a large household, that was the first time a sermon recorded in the Bible had been preached to a Gentile audience. Whoa, that's pretty awesome. Now, that doesn't mean there were never non-Jews saved. We know that. Rahab, Jericho, Ruth, Moab, others. People could always be saved. All right, absolutely. The Lord didn't shut any of that off. All right, Old Testament, New Testament. Always been the same way, by the way. Salvation has always been the same way. All right, by faith, turning from your sins, never anything else. But that opportunity there, a Roman official and a Roman centurion, I mean, an important military man, a Gentile, all right, is hearing the gospel from the Apostle Peter for the first time. All right, wow, and then we see the book of Acts as the gospel just flourishes. So we have the command, Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach, proclaim, open their mouth, the gospel, the great message to every creature, every person, every tribe, every tongue, every culture. Wow. And we see that, and we've looked at that. I'm not going to go back and look at all of that again. So what does it mean when we're talking about proclaiming and presenting the gospel? What does soul winning mean? What does witnessing mean? What does evangelism mean? It's the idea is the same thing. It's just sharing Christ, the message of Jesus Christ and the cross with a lost and dying world. That's what it is. That's our little card as a reminder. And again, we can have cards everywhere. We can have cards everywhere, and then at the end of the year, we're like, didn't really do much, all right? Till all have heard. Till all have heard. Till all have heard. And I've got to do my part, and you've got to do your part, and this church has to do its part. Our missionaries are doing their part. Sharing Jesus Christ and the message of the cross with a lost and dying world now, right now, right now. Because the Lord could return at any moment. His imminent return. And then the church, the saved believers, poof, all right? Now, remember, in the tribulation, in the millennium, the gospel will still be proclaimed. The angel, one of the angels will do it, right? With the everlasting gospel. 144 Jewish evangelists. By the way, I think that's not that we have to prove it. I think that's a great proof that the church will be removed for those who don't believe that. Because if the Lord gave the command to the church to go in all the world and preach the gospel, then that command is never changed unless the church is removed. That never changed. So why would the angel be going the gospel, and why would 144,000 Jewish evangelists? Because the church is no longer there. Now, going through the tribulation, all right, as I would think most here would believe and this church believes, but the gospel is the heartbeat of God for a lost and dying world. Now, there's a lot of ways to do that. So let's understand, there's a lot of ways to evangelize. There is gospel tracts, carrying a gospel tract, giving it to somebody, hey, helping you have it, hey, can I leave you something to read when you have a break as you go through the grocery line? Putting it on, putting it there with the tip, and you write a little note, hey, great, thanks for the tremendous service. You know, God bless you, praying for you, John 3:16, or whatever. Whatever you do, I hope there's different methods, all right? Or someone is, hey, Barbara, good, that's great, hey, can I give you something to read? Some good news for you today. That's a simple way. Now, you have to be careful with that. You have to make sure it's a gospel track. Because not all tracks have the gospel. Now, we try our best to make sure the ones that we have here, look through them and read through them before we order them. But it's important. You don't just grab tracks and pass them out and you have never read them or looked at them. Because a lot of tracks, not necessarily the ones we have here, Lily. They could have escaped me. I can't say I've read every single one, every single line. But a lot of gospel tracts only give the good news, and there's no, it doesn't have everything. It just is a simple, maybe read this, call upon the Lord, pray. Look, now you're saved. You know, sometimes an easy believism, or some would call a quick prayerism, without really understanding the gospel and sin and repentance. So you do have to be careful. You got to make sure that you read, and then that's a good start to be a soul winner. You put them in a letter or something like that. Gospel tracts. It could be you inviting people. Some of you are very good at this. You're very passionate and you're very faithful in inviting people and bringing them to services. And trying to get them to a Sunday service, trying to get them to a cantata, trying to get them to a revival service, special meetings, trying to get that. And that is a way. You know, hey, I know that the gospel is going to be preached here during the special services. I know that during the cantata. So I want to get, so you're doing everything you can to bring people or families with you in here so that they can hear the gospel with the hope of praying for them to trust Christ. That's a way of doing it as well, and that's good. It could be by letter. God burdens your heart. Boy, a classmate at college. But you weren't saved back then, but you were good friends. And you've lost time, but you're not sure exactly right now where they're at, but God burdens your heart. And you're like, you know what, I do see them occasionally on Facebook, and I'll try to reach out. Well, I'm going to reach out and say, hey, it's been years. I don't know if they're saved. And so maybe I email them the gospel. Maybe I write a letter and I share my testimony with them. Maybe they're not, now a personal visit if they're close would be best. Let's get together for lunch. Now your intention is not just to reconnect and swap old college stories. Your intent is to let them know the greatest thing that ever happened to you when you didn't have that back then. And you want to share the gospel. Now, and they'd be in a different state, and so you may have to write a letter and say, hey, I just want to share some things with you. That's soul winning in a form, if you would. All right? Certainly, knocking on doors, door-to-door soul winning is an effective way, especially in towns and places. You're not going to be able to see everybody in Duryea. You have no idea who all lives here, even if you have lived here your whole life. Knocking on doors, systematically going up and down streets, covering the entire town or the development, sharing the gospel. We'll get back to that one. Certainly, special evangelist events that our church has, where it has special outreach. Hey, we're having the Duryea Christmas Stroll. The town is having it. Our church, we should be reaching the town. I mean, they're coming up and down the street right by our church. All right? We're not just here to see if we can break the cookie record every year. Woohoo! Look at this. That's nice. That's not why we do the Duryea Christmas Stroll. Well, we're setting records. No. That is just a means. The cookies and the hot chocolate and the popcorn are just the means to draw people to a table, which we want to improve every year, in order to give them the gospel, not just see people we know and that. Now that happens. No. There are people going right by. We don't even have, I mean, the fish are right there. We don't have to go anywhere. We want to intentionally get in gospel conversations. That's a means, special events. Bible school, vacation Bible school is not solely just for our church, is it? Now, it is for our church, and it's great to come, and we have a large group of adults. But it's an evangelistic outreach, certainly for boys and girls and children and teens and families and people to come, because the gospel is going to be shared in every class and every teacher in the gospel. Absolutely, those are evangelistic. We want to have a great time. We do skits and things, but that's not just to do it. It's for the intent of getting the gospel out, seeing souls saved, those that are saved growing in the Lord, serving and ministering through the church. Youth rallies, retreats, all of those kind of things sometimes blend together. Special services, cantatas. It's not just to do it. It's outreach. It's to get the gospel out. It's to see people come in, to invite people, those kind of things. There's street preaching. Some of you may have done that. You may not have done that. That's evangelism. That's soul winning. That's standing on the corner of a busy place there. Now, that sometimes isn't practiced as much, and I know sometimes there's people that give that a bad name. All right, but sharing the gospel, that happens a lot in other countries. Sharing the gospel downtown, they're just preaching Christ. More intentional would be you personally inviting a person or family to a meal, having them over, a neighbor, a good friend, with the sole intention, not just having a meal. They come to your house, you can control the conversation, you can pray for the meal, you can do a lot of things with the intent of getting the gospel out. You can do that. And then, of course, the best, the preferred, would be the personal one-on-one, talking with a neighbor, sharing Christ with the garbage man. the barber, the dentist, the guy that does your car, wherever, the florist, wherever, the person you develop a little bit of relationship, the coffee shop. A personal one-on-one with the sole intent, God has burdened them. I have the gospel, they do not, as far as I know. I need to share it with them. I know I need to do that. I'm going to try one-on-one or a coworker. Let's go out for lunch. Let's, with the sole intent of, Lord, now help me now. Lord, help me now. I got to know what I need to say. All right, but I'm scared or I'm a little nervous, or a classmate or a teacher. The one-on-one, sharing the gospel, presenting the good news. Not with the intent of, I'm going to share it and they better get saved, although praise God that does happen. But no, the intent of, I've been commanded to do this by my Lord and Savior. I want to obey that. The love of Christ constrains me. The reality of hell motivates me. The mercy and compassion that I've received, whoa, I can't keep this to myself. And the burden for them, I've got to do it, Lord. I've got to do it. And Lord, help me. Those are all methods and ways, and some I haven't even mentioned, that have to do with soul winning, witnessing, or evangelizing. Now, all of those, most of those can be done individually, but then when we zero in on the church, that's a little different. The church itself has been commissioned as a local body, I believe, to reach there, Jerusalem, Judea, and on and on. Obviously, the uttermost part, we might say, hey, we've got that covered. We've got lots of missionaries. That's awesome. All right. Look, they're all over the continent. That's great. And praise the Lord for that. And that is part of the Great Commission. But sometimes it's sometimes easy to have the missionaries, and sometimes a little harder right here at home. All right, right here at home. And so we're talking about proclaiming and presenting the gospel. Now, if you have a particular person right now that you're burdened for, I've got 16 sitting up here. Different ways of going to school here. Some are in public school, some are through cyber school, some are homeschool. Let's say they have someone they're burdened for. A burden for a teacher. A burden for a classmate. Like, well, I'm just a teen, no. But yet, God's been working on them. Lord, what would you have me to do? And they know they need to. How are they going to do that? Or some of you, you're like, man, I know my boss. My boss, I need to. That neighbor, all we do is like, hey. That's not enough, Lord. I've got to do more than that. Oh, you know, it's intimidating. It's fearful. A fear creeps in. The devil, the flesh, everything is like, ah. All right. Well, it is, if possible, if you are able to learn a little bit of the background of the person, that is always helpful. If it's someone you've known for years, it is helpful. You don't have to in any way. That doesn't keep you in any way from sharing the gospel. But if you have some background on, you know, they're religious, they're not religious. They're Catholic, they're Lutheran, Methodist, they're Islam, they're Hindu, they're secular, they're agnostic, they're searching, they're a skeptic. If you have some of that knowledge, that definitely helps, all right? Because then you can pray a little more specifically, and you can be considering and pondering with the Lord's help of just how I want to broach that topic and subject. If they have a lot of background and they're really, well, then that's a different way to approach them, all right? And you can see that all through the scriptures. Jesus Christ is the model, Paul, the gospel, absolutely. The gospel is always the gospel, and that's the main thing, but the approach is always different, all right? I like what one preacher said. Let me read this here. The difference between being fruitful and less fruitful in soul winning is not how smart you are. It's not how educated or if you went to Bible college or not. It's not how smooth talking you are if you're outgoing. It's not your personality, which we often make it personality. It's not, oh yeah, don't worry about it. I'm a quick thinker and I can answer anything. No, no, no. It's not necessarily any of that. The difference between, boy, that person just is fruitful. You know, some of the most fruitful, effective soul winners are the least educated and least eloquent of anybody and don't have the answers and aren't that quick at thinking, but they have a passion for souls and a love for the Lord. And they could stutter and they may only know a few verses. But you know what constrains them? The Lord and the gospel. And God uses them as clay vessels, oftentimes much more effectively than sometimes, you know, we got all the answers, we can talk and debate and all of that kind of stuff. And this person has a lot, and this person never sees any fruit. All right? Because it's not in necessarily our personality. And what one preacher said is, the difference between being fruitful and less fruitful in soul winning is often determined by relatively small things. And I like his illustration. I'm going to share it. He says, I observed this in fishing. Now, I'm not a big fisherman. Many of you maybe are. That's great. But Christ is the one that said, I'll make you fishers of men. And henceforth thou shalt learn to catch men. So we're going to go with what Christ said, fishing. When I was growing up, this pastor said, in Florida, I went bass fishing very frequently with my dad and grandpa. Now, during the years we lived in the Pacific Northwest, I learned how to fish for trout, salmon, and walleye. The difference between a good fisherman and a mediocre one often comes down to small things, such as how you work the lure, how fast you reel it in, how you twitch it, how deep you work it, etc. How well you discern the fish's bite, how you fix the bait on the hook, what color lure you use, how fresh the bait is, and dozens of other little things, just little things. Two fishermen can go to the same lake the same day, the same equipment, but one can effectively and consistently catch more fish than the other if he's just a little wiser on little things. This pastor says, I remember when I finally learned how to work a buzz bomb lure. If you're a big fisherman, you'll recognize some of these names. They got unusual names of the kinds. I learned how to effectively catch salmon off the shores of an island north of Seattle. Day after day, I had gone out to the same hot spots where all the other salmon fishermen were congregating. And I had cast my buzz bombs out in the Pacific Ocean until I thought my arm was going to fall off. But the more often than not, I returned home empty-handed. I had the right equipment. I had the right color, the right size buzz bomb for the right fish. But something was missing. One day, a friend showed me that I was jigging the lure too aggressively, that I need to let it stay closer to the bottom and jig it just a little more gently. That little piece of advice, bingo, was the missing piece of the puzzle. My salmon fishing became very effective. In fact, my boys and I caught 220 pounds of salmon that fall, largely because of one little simple tip that I did not know. Now, you don't have to know all the ins and outs, obviously, of soul winning and read every book and manual and think I've got to have 20 years of classes or I can't go out. We understand that. Wait a minute. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's the power of the gospel. The Lord can take your poor mouth because he made it, right? Moses, right? Jeremiah? He can take your lack of experience. I can't do it. I can't talk. I freeze. I panic. Listen, anything you've ever said has been said before. And it will be said again. And it doesn't mean it's not true. But the Lord delights in taking just willing vessels. Say, Lord, I cannot do this. Exactly. Thank you, Gideon. Thank you, people in the Bible. You're right. It's all me. And so when it happens, you're like, I can't believe it. It's like, God, it's not. God says, you're right. It's not you. But thank you for being available and letting my power flow through you. Wow. All right. I think I read this maybe 2 or 3 years ago on a Wednesday night. We were doing some soul winning topics and teaching a little bit. I don't remember what book it's in. I was going to Google it and I forgot in my thing. But it was just a story about what would be at that time, years ago, a sort of very poor, uneducated American Indian that I think he was in the military. He'd come out of the military, and he got to know the Lord, but he just stuttered. He just clammed up. He just had not finished schooling, but he loved the Lord, and he wanted to share Christ. And he had a lot of buddies, and they would make fun, and they were smart, and they were educated, and they were cocky and arrogant, and they would try to. Anytime he'd try to share the Lord, they'd just come with all these fancy questions, right? And sometimes that makes us fearful. I know, but I mean, what are they going to say? I don't know how to answer. And they're going to throw all this stuff, and I'm going to look like a fool. And they would come back, and they'd say, John, I think his name was Poor John, John, and they'd ask him all these tricky questions, and you know what? He didn't even know the answers. And he wouldn't even try. He just would come back the same time. I wish I'd looked this up. He would just come back with the same verse every time. That's all he would say. And they would be like, come on, what about this one, John? Really, God? And they would just try to pepper him with all kind of unbelief and questions to make him feel. And he would just say the same verse and sort of stutter every time. But you know what? God used that poor American Indian guy, that stuttered. And many, many of his buddies came to know Christ. They would get frustrated. That all you know? The Bible? Come on. But he didn't quit. And he had a love for him. And even if they'd mock and make fun and not do him and include him, they knew that he loved him. And boy, I remember reading that, and it was just so effective. He didn't have all the answers. He just said, this is all I know, and that's all I'm going to give. All right? And you know what? God delights in taking and using people like that. You know, the Bible says, as that illustration of that and the illustration of the fishing, the same is true for evangelism. You can have two Bible-believing churches in the same town. They can both have Sunday school, VBS, all kind of programs. In the same city, yet one may be more fruitful than the other. The difference could be just in zeal, just in prayer, and effectual planning, training, and teaching of how the Bible school, the Sunday school, soul winning is operated. It's the same for every kind of door knocking, any kind of evangelism. Having a program is not enough. It's got to be conducted wisely and really, really prayerfully. Now, God blesses those that pray effectively and churches that pray effectively for lost souls. So next week will be a little more practical. We'll sort of walk you through. And again, some of you, so I've been soul winning my whole life. I was soul winning when I was a kid. I went soul winning with my youth group. I went soul winning. Well, that's fine. All right, but we should never stop growing. But there's many who maybe haven't. And so again, whether it's a door-to-door, whether it's just, oh, I got to talk to the, here we are at lunch together, and I'm sitting there, and they're sitting there, and Holy Spirit's pricking my heart, but they're eating their sandwich, and they're looking at their phone, and I'm over here, and like, well, I don't know what to do or say, and they don't talk, and, you know, what do you do? And then what if I say something, and they come right back with a question, and I look like a, you know, that's what, and so many times, that's human, Many times we just don't do anything. And we have all these doubts and fears, and we never do share the gospel. Now, many do, and we praise the Lord if you do, and you plow through the fear, and you plow through the doubt, and you plow through sometimes the red ears and the rejection and the tight stomach and all of those kind of things, so that's pretty normal, all right? But proclaiming the gospel. If you go to Acts chapter 1, flip over another familiar verse, Acts chapter 1 here. We have a couple ministries we're desiring to start. Cross and Tower, nursing home. Some churches have jail, prison ministries, depending on where you live. Some have rescue ministries, depending on where you live. Also depends on what their rules are and if they let the gospel be preached, and some of them are not. But no, all of those are a little bit different type of soul winning. Going to Cross and Tower and running a little ministry once a week, soul winning? Yes. Why are we going over there? The goal would be to share the gospel. To get 5, 10, 25, 50 people in a room. Hi, everybody. It's great to have you out here today. I'm so-and-so. It's my wife, my kiddos. Here's a couple people from our church. We're thrilled to be here. Many of you know our church right over there. And we're excited to start this. We're hoping to be here once a month, once a week. And hey, we just want to be a blessing to you. We're going to do a little bit of singing sometimes. Don't hold that against us, you know. Do some visiting with you and share some things. I'm just going to share a simple truth from the Bible. All right? And again, we're not worried about, well, attendance went up, went down. Hey, it's a ministry. All right, it's going to go up and down. There's going to be people like it, people don't like it, people, it's okay. All right, what are we there for? Well, how often do they get the gospel over there? Maybe somebody that's a friend. How often in a nursing home do they get the gospel? How often have they ever even heard a clear 15-minute message from the Bible on what the gospel is? Well, we can do that. We can do that. We can go in. We can be full of joy and enthusiasm. We can visit with the people. Hey, it's so good to see you. How you doing? What's your name? Great. All right, great. Yeah. We can visit with the people. You can sit and talk there. You can do a little gospel message, preach the Bible, finish it up, have a word of prayer. Then afterwards, some people leave. Some stay around and talk. Sometimes you go over to people. Some people have questions. You can do follow-up. Whoa! That's soul winning. It's a different form of it. Same thing at any kind of a ministry. People say, I can't do door-to-door. I cannot do door-to-door. Now, I don't want to jump on that. Now, it may not be everyone's favorite thing. Obviously, if we hold to, I can do all things through Christ, we can. But you might say, I can do that and I will do that, although it's not, okay, that's fine. So Cross and Tower is a whole different thing. All right? And some of you, God's made you and you have a great love and empathy for older folks, or senior saints, or people that can't do stuff, or some people over there are saved, some may not be. Those are opportunities. Then you can do great follow-up. Some of them say, we want to come to church. Can we get picked up? Sure. You want to sit with us? Wow. All right. You want to come over for lunch? Absolutely. Wow. It could even lead someone to Christ, and some may say, I've never done that my entire life. Never personally, like the Lord allowed me. Now, I may have prayed with somebody because they needed me to pray at Bible school. I may have gone with somebody because I was on duty to be the one to talk to them. But I've never personally, I've never done that my whole life. Like, initiated the gospel, talked to them over weeks, months, years, hours, and the Lord, whoa! Boy, I'm going to tell you, that souls for Jesus is my battle cry. Acts 1, we'll finish with this tonight because we've got a VBS meeting. We'll pick up on this next Sunday night, give some more practical points. Well, how do you talk? How do you start conversations? Well, what do you say if they say this? Do you have to know the answer to everything? No. What's the key? The key is right here in Acts 1:8. What's the setting? He's speaking to who? He's speaking to us, but he's speaking at the time to the disciples. Same guys we've been looking at Sunday mornings. Now, they'd been with him anywhere from 3 to 3.5 years. He rose from the dead. He's been alive for 40 days. They know that. He's with them right now. He's getting ready to ascend to heaven, to the throne. And he leaves them this. Now, these are men. They've already been commissioned. They've already been preaching through the God. He called them, and they've been preaching. And they've been healing, and they've been casting out demons. But that's not enough. They've had years with Jesus. They know how he did it. That's not enough. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power. That's what you have to have. You've got to have power. You don't have it. You shall receive power after that. Well, what's the power? The power is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Now, at this time, the Holy Spirit had not yet descended and indwelled believers yet. We know that happens in Acts 2. Today, there's no waiting on the Holy Spirit. Moment of salvation, boom, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, sealed. But after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, testifiers unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. What's the key to being a soul winner? Has nothing to do with you. It has just to do with being a willing vessel and understanding two things. The power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power. Same word, dunamis, dynamite, whoa. And then the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. That's all you need. We don't save anybody anyways. It's just willing vessels that say, all right, Lord, I've got the gospel, which is powerful. I don't even have to memorize it. I can just read it. Or say, can you read that verse right there? Yeah, you can you read that? For God so loved the world. That's good. Keep reading. You always want the people to read it. Let them read it. Have you ever heard that verse? Of course. Yeah, I think so. What does that mean? Well, they're going to give the standard Bible answer. God loved the world. He sent his son. You're going to read it back to you, right? Same thing. Okay. For all have sinned. What does that mean? You don't have to have it memorized. You don't have to have every answer. This is the power right here, the Word of God. Just open the Word of God. All right? Be prayed up. Be Spirit-filled. All right? Lord, and don't expect necessarily. Now, there should be an expectation, but yet you don't expect. We went out for 5 hours. We passed out 497 John and Romans. We personally talked to 3 people. They averaged 1 minute. Whoa. Did you do what the Lord wanted? Yes. Did you do it with a willing? Yes. Okay, great. You obeyed the Great Commission. That doesn't mean we don't try to go back and say, well, most of those people are home. Maybe it was a bad time. Or let's follow up. But hey, it's not based on, well, you know, I've gone for years. And, you know, statistics show that soul winning door to door doesn't work anymore. Less than 1% of 1% of people even come and visit. It's just a means. It's one means of many means. But it is a good means. All right? And so whether it's one-on-one street preaching, a ministry we're trying to begin, bringing people to church, getting them here, a letter, whatever it may be, may you and I understand that the power is not in us, but it's in the gospel, the Word of God, and it's in the Holy Spirit. And when we just say, Lord, you're going to have to make me a soul winner. That's great. God can do that. Lord, you're going to have to open my mind and my mouth because I do not think good at all and I don't talk good at all and I am just horrible. That's fine. All right? No big deal. All right? God can do that and he delights in that. And the key is, do you have anybody you're burdened for? Do you have anybody you're praying for? Do you have anybody you're weeping for? Do you have anybody that God has laid on your heart strongly? Then what's the next step? Maybe it is tonight to write the letter, to find the address, to stop this week, go by the house. Maybe it's time to, you got time for breakfast? Well, I go to work at 6. 5:30 will work. How about an evening? How about coming over? How about whatever it is? You do every means possible, and then you ask the Lord to empower you and to help you, and doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get saved that night, that day, but you want to introduce the gospel, and it may be years, it may be over a series of time, it may be right away. God works in different ways with different people, but you and I, may we be bearers of the good news. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, I believe the command and the commission is clear. I don't think there's any wavering there. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, the time is short. The day draws nigh. As Christ said, the night is soon coming when no man can work. Lord, your return is imminent. Lord, I believe probably the vast majority of folks here tonight, if the rapture occurred right now, would be in heaven with you, Lord, based on their testimony. Lord, perhaps not everybody. And Lord, we'd be in the sweet by and by. And Lord, we'd be clothed in righteousness, seeing you face to face, enjoying sweet fellowship. But Lord, there would be many, many left behind, loved ones, friends, co-workers, neighbors, who do not have that assurance. And may never have heard the gospel ever given to them in a clear presentation by someone who loved them. Now, Lord, you've placed us here for a purpose and a reason. So, Lord, may we be bold. May we have faith. May we take your word at its word. May we be empowered, Lord, by prayer and the Holy Spirit and the Bible. And may you open up our feeble mouths and put your words in it. May we be willing vessels for you. Lord, I pray, sear on our hearts one or more people this week that we can share the gospel with, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless.